ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ
रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 चैप्टर एंटाइटल आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ।
कुर्याद अपर पक्षियम् मासि प्रोष्ट पदे द्विजः श्राद्धं पित्रोर् यथा वित्तम् तद्बन्धूनां च वित्तवान्।
ट्रांसलेशन बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। A Brahmana who is sufficiently rich must offer oblations to the forefathers during the dark moon fortnight in the later part of the month of Bhadra. Similarly, he should offer oblations to the relatives of the forefathers during the Mahalaya ceremonies in the month of Ashwina. No purport to this, so we go to the next one. It's from text 20 to 23.
अयने विषुवे कुर्यात् व्यतिपाते दिनक्षये चन्द्रादित्योपरागे च द्वादश्यां श्रवणेषु च तृतीयायां शुक्लपक्षे नवम्याम् अथ कार्तिके चतस्व अपि अष्टाक्षु अष्टकाशु हेमन्ते शिशिरे तथा मागे च सित सप्तम्यां मघा राक समागमे राकया च अनुमत्या च मासर्क्षानि युतान्यपि द्वादश्याम् अनुराध च श्रवणस्तिस्र उत्तरा तिष्ठिष्वेकादशी वासु जन्मर्क्ष श्रोणयोगयुक्।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. One should perform the Shraddha ceremony on the Makara Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move north, or on the Karkata Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move south. One should also perform the ceremony on the Mesha Sankranti day and the Tula Sankranti day in the yoga named Vyatipata, on that day in which three lunar tithis are conjoined during an eclipse of either the moon or the sun, on the 12th lunar day, and in the Shravana Nakshatra. One should perform this ceremony on the Akshaya Tritiya day, on the 9th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartika, on the 4 Ashtakas in the winter season and a cool season, on the 7th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Magha, during the conjunction of Magha Nakshatra and a full moon day, and on the days when the moon is completely full or not quite completely full, when these days are conjoined with the Nakshatra from which the names of certain months are derived. One should also perform the Shraddha ceremony on the 12th lunar day when it is in conjunction with any of the nakshatras named Anuradha, Shravana, Uttara Falguni, Uttarashada, Uttarashada or Uttara Bhadrapada. Again, one should perform this ceremony when the 11th lunar day is in conjunction with either Uttara Falguni, Uttarashad or Uttara Bhadrapada. Finally, one should perform this ceremony on days conjoined with one's own birth star, Janma Nakshatra, or with Shravana Nakshatra. Purport. The word Ayana means path or going. The 6 months when the sun moves towards the north are called Uttarayana, or the northern path. And the 6 months when it moves south are called Dakshinayana, or the southern path. These are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse number 24 and 25. The first day when the sun begins to move north and enter the zodiacal sign of Capricorn is called Makar Sankranti. And the first day when the sun begins to move south and enter the sign of Cancer is called Karkata Sankranti. On these 2 days of the year, one should perform the Shraddha ceremony. Vishuva or Vishuva Sankranti means Mesha Sankranti, or the day on which the sun enters the sun sign Aries. Tula Sankranti is the day on which the sun enters the sign Libra. Both of these days occur only once within a year. The word yoga refers to a certain relationship between the sun and moon as they move in the sky. There are 27 different degrees of yoga, of which the 17th is called Vyatipath. On the day when this occurs, one should perform the Shraddha ceremony. A Tithi or a lunar day consists of the distance between the longitude of the sun and that of the moon. Sometimes a Tithi is less than 24 hours. When it starts after sunrise on a certain day and ends before the sunrise of the following day, the previous Tithi and the following Tithi both touch the 24-hour day between the sunrises. This is called Triha Sparsha, or a day touched by some portion of three Tithis. Srila Jiva Goswami has given quotations from many Shastras stating that the Shraddha ceremony of oblations to the forefathers should not be performed on Ekadashi Tithi. When the Tithi of the death anniversary falls on the Ekadashi day, the Shraddha ceremony should be held not on Ekadashi but on the next day or Dvadashi. In the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, it is said, Ye Kurvanti Mahipala Shraddham Chekadashi Dina Trayaste Narakam Yanti Data Bhokta Cha Prerakaha. If one performs the Shraddha ceremony of oblations to the forefathers on the Ekadashi Tithi, then the performer, the forefathers for whom the Shraddha is observed, and the Purohit or the family priest who encourages the ceremony all go to hell. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings and permission of Nartaki Mataji, senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and all my God brothers. As I was preparing for this particular verse, I was wondering what I can speak. I had two realizations while I was going through this preparation. That number one is Srila Prabhupada's in-depth study of the astrology and astronomy, whatever is there, where all, what all things have to be done. At the same time, the merciful nature of Srila Prabhupada. Because if I were to do all these things, probably I would be mad by the time I go through this. But Prabhupada has made everything so simple. At the end, he just chant, dance, have prasad and be happy. So, that's the merciful nature of Srila Prabhupada for all of us. Before I came to the movement, I had a different conception of what is Shraddha. But then after I heard a lecture by His Grace Devamrit Prabhu almost about 18 years back, things became very clear. I had that audio cassette for a long time, but somehow I lost them because that was very convincing for me. I had preserved till a month back, and then I said, where it is gone? And somehow that I could not get that. And there was one audio cassette which I could find, but that was a part of the whole series of lectures which he had presented that time. And somehow or other I could get hold of it and hear a little bit of it. Anyhow, most of the presentation are some of the points which are taken from that lecture. We all know that as soon as we are born in this material world, we are debtors. D-B-T, D-B-T-O-R-S, debtors. In other words, as soon as you are born, we are obligated to do so many things in this world. Foolishly we think that, oh, only if I have borrowed something from someone and if not paid, then I am a debtor. Externally, yes, it may seem like that. But there is something quite deep understanding from the Shastra. We are debtors to so many things. The meter starts as soon as you are born. Just like as soon as you sit in a taxi, the meter starts, whether you run the taxi or not. The moment you get into a flat, a live and license flat, the day when you are in that flat, from that day onwards, your payment starts. Right? So similarly, the day you are born, you are indebted so many. And the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that we are indebted to six categories, the six debtors, you can say. Narad Muni says, first are the Devas. Devas mean the demigods. And it requires just a common sense to understand that we are indeed the debtors. Somebody closes your nose and you can see, you cannot even live for more than a minute also. Close your nose and mouth. Can't. We are indebted to sun, the moon, and so many other personalities, demigods, to whom we are indebted to. As Srila Prabhupada always say that, if you are not paid an electricity bill, then definitely the electricity will be cut from your house. So similarly, we see that we are getting so many facilities from these demigods in different ways, and we don't pay them back, right? We take it for granted. We just say that, oh yes, I am supposed to get this. But little do we realize that ultimately it is all given to us. But we don't realize that we are supposed to be repaying them. Then the rishis, the sages, how we are indebted to them, because they are giving us the spiritual knowledge which is coming from ages. They preserve this knowledge and they are giving this to society. People in the world may think that sadhus are parasites, that they don't do anything, they just survive on the society for their maintenance. But actually, they are the one who have preserved this knowledge from so many years, and they're carrying on like that, and they're giving this knowledge to us. And by accepting this knowledge, we're able to perfect their lives, which otherwise would not have been possible. In fact, you know, because there are sages, rishis who have kept this, preserved this treasure, that's why we're able to survive in this material world. Otherwise, this world would have been into complete chaos. Then, bhuta, that is the living entities. We're indebted to so many living entities. Prabhupada says, you know, we cannot survive without cow's milk. She's the mother. We're indebted to cow. Then we're indebted to so many other animals. The bull, the dog, or whatever. So many other animals we are indebted to. Then apta, that is relatives. We are indebted to relatives. Because some or the other, because of their presence, we are able to have so many social activities which you can perform. Then ninam, that is human beings. We need association to be here in this world, to live here. So definitely we are obligated to them. And finally, Pitrinam, that means to the forefathers, parents, our ancestors. Why? Because of them we have got this human form of life, the body which we are now living in. So it is said that these are the six debtors: Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta, Ninam, and Pitrinam. And the Shastras recommend that there are various rituals to repay them or repay the debt. Like for the demigods, we have to perform some sacrifices and please them. Perform some yajnas, That's the reason why, you know, if see in the morning, for a sun god, people in the morning, they have this ritual, they just offer it, offer prayers to the sun god, they offer prayer to the Vayu Dev, and so many others. Of course, now it has become just a ritual without being understanding what, why exactly and for whom they are doing, but any of the recommendations there in the Shastra, definitely. And for the Rishis, like because of their knowledge which they are given, it is recommended that, you know, somebody performs or lives a life of a brahmachari, that means study the Shastra and try to, you know, digest them, assimilate them in your life. That's how you can repay the debt to the Rishis. And of course, the Bhutas, that is the living entities, like the birds, you just feed them, take care of them, relatives, just interact. You have your obligations, you know, give them the time, like that. And ultimately, for Pitris also. For Pitris, there is a forefathers and ancestors, the recommendation is that you perform what is called as a Pindadan or Shraddh. And it said that a real gentleman, even in his ordinary dealings, does not take favors from anyone. Like, if he's a real gentleman, in his ordinary dealings, he takes favors, he doesn't take favors. If he has taken something, then he just repays in some way or the other. And that is there, that is recommended. And every religion recommends fulfillment of obligation to these ancestors. Every religion recommends. And there are very nice statement, which I would like to quote. That the beginning of human life is to discharge our obligations to the six categories. And the perfection of human life is to serve and please Krishna. That is, beginning of human life is to discharge our obligations to these debtors. But the perfection of human life is to serve and please Krishna. So basically, like when we try to discharge our obligations for others, so it said that that's when your human life begins. But higher principle is what? That to serve and please Krishna. And that becomes a perfection. So here, like, because topic is on Shraddha, we just speak about this particular point, that it is recommended in Shastra that one performs the Shraddha ceremony for the departed ancestors, the forefathers. But what exactly is Shraddha? In simple terms, it is nothing but the offering of Krishna Prasad to the forefathers. To simplify the whole thing, just about 10 to 11 years back, my grandfather left his body and I had to go to my uncle's place for this particular ceremony. And there was a pandit who had come, he performed some rituals, and everyone in the house were just, you know, chit-chatting. And because I was fresh from hearing this, I was a little uneasy at that time. So I myself offered to give a lecture there. I said, I told my uncle that I want to speak on this particular ceremony. They reluctantly allowed me to speak, of course. And I was hearing what the pandit was talking about. You know, at the end of everything, he was saying, Krishna Arpanamastu, Krishna Arpanamastu. So I could understand that this pandit may not understand what he's speaking, but the actual purpose is that ultimately this is what is offered to Krishna, and I'm offering to Krishna, and then this particular thing is going to be given to the departed grandfather. So I started my presentation. That time I was fearless. I was wanting to preach. And I was speaking. So then I was emphasizing on this point that, see, even this pandit was saying Krishna Arpanamastu, you know. But I was pronouncing in a different way. I was saying Krishna Arpanamastu, like this, you know. So they did not get my meaning, but they were catching on my words. So my uncle said, it's not this, it's this, you know. So ultimately, you know, it's all becoming a ritual, and they're catching on my words because he's a Sanskrit scholar, my uncle. So he was trying to catch me on my words and say, you are saying this wrong, you are saying this wrong. So ultimately, but then whatever I wanted to speak, I spoke to them. I said, ultimately what we are doing here is that we are offering Krishna Prasad to our grandfather. Because by offering that Krishna Prasad to grandfather, that person will get benefited. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that why this Shraddha ceremony is performed. It said that somebody who is not taken shelter, who has not taken shelter of the Lord, lotus feet of the Lord, knowingly or unknowingly, he commits so many sinful activities. He is caught up in so many acts for which he has to get the karma or the reactions. So probably he may get a human form of body in the next life, or he may be in some other form. So it is said that when a person performs a ceremony called a Shraddha or Pindadan, oblations to the deceased or the departed ancestors, so what happens is that you are actually benefiting that person by giving them Krishna Prasad, and wherever the soul is, that soul gets the benefit of Krishna Prasad. So he at least gets relieved from that sinful activities which he has performed. That's all. And that's the purpose of the Shraddha ceremony. But Srila Prabhupada also mentions one step. He said somebody has performed a sinful act, but then if he has performed a lot of sinful activities, at the same time, he is also attached to his family, his possession, and whatever he has accumulated in this life. And he has so many desires, unfulfilled desires. But he has performed a lot of sinful activities. He says he becomes ghost. And those ghosts, they haunt you. They're around. And many a times they may try to, you know, because ghost means what? It's just that they have a subtle body, mind, intelligence, ego. They don't have a gross body. So they're not able to perform activities what they want to do. So they're frustrated basically. So Srila Prabhupada mentions many places. He says that the ghosts sometimes they sit on the ceiling, they sometimes sit here, there. And they like to haunt, they like to trouble you. So just so that, you know, they get a proper body, a gross body, this particular ceremony is been performed. A pindadan is done with sincerity. And to the extent you do that, probably that person, by your sincerity, the person may get a form of life. Prabhupada mentioned in one of the discussions that in Shida Mayapur, he said there are many Mohammedan ghosts which are there, you know, which are around. He said, but by chanting Hare Krishna, they're all gone. So he was saying that. So it is recommended, Srila Prabhupada mentions, that for performing Shraddha ceremony according to Vedic rituals, who does that Shraddha? A putra does. A son does that Shraddha ceremony. It's recommended a son does that ritual for the benefit of the forefathers. So Prabhupada mentions that in order that somebody does a nice Shraddha ceremony, or they get a relief from their ghostly form or from their sinful state, and said one need to have good sons who can make offering to Vishnu and offer remnants to the forefathers. Said, we see, to set an example, even in Shastras we see many examples where Shraddha ceremonies are performed. Like Vibhishan did Shraddha for his brother Ravan and Kumbhakarna, which is mentioned. Prahlad performed. And also in Chaitanya Charitamrita we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed Shraddha ceremony for his father. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Gaya to perform Shraddha ceremony, that's where he met his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. And when he took darshan of Ishwara Puri, he actually told Ishwara Puri that I have come here to perform Shraddha for my father, and by performing Shraddha for my father, I will benefit only few of my ancestors. But just by taking darshan of you, millions of people be benefited. Darshana pavitra karo ekum tamara gun. So that was the nature of Srila Ishwarapuri. And that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart got transformed and he became a devotee of Lord Krishna. We find that in the Shastra, Srila Prabhupada glorifies Prahlad Maharaj as an ideal son. There's a nice verse. Pun nama narakad yasmat trayate pitaram suta tasmat putriti prokta swayam eva swayam bhuva. What is a putra? Putra means what? The one who can deliver his father from the hellish condition of life. Putra nama narakad yasmat trayate pitaram suta tasmat putra iti prokta. So a person, a pun nama, there's hell called as pu. Someone who can deliver his father from that hellish planet, pun nama narakad yasmat trayate pitaram suta, that person is called as a putra. Other shastra says he is called as a mutra, because the putra and mutra comes from the same channel. So if that person is not doing his duties and delivers his father from the cycle of birth and death, that person is nothing but a mutra. So Srila Prabhupada is actually glorifying Prahlad Maharaj as the ideal son. As the ideal son. When Hiranyakashipu asked him, he said, "What do you want? Please tell me." Prahlad Maharaj first said, "I don't want anything. I am not a businessman. That I wanted something in exchange for what I did." He says, "No, please tell me." He said, "If you really want to give me, then you please deliver my father from this hellish condition of life." So Narasingdev said, "Why your father? 21 generations will be delivered by your becoming a pure devotee of the Lord." So this is the nature, that when somebody takes to this process and somebody becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, then 21 generations are being delivered from the cycle of birth and death. It is said that Prabhupada mentions that one develops implicit faith and respect to hearing the glories of the name, glories of the Lord, and chanting the names of the Lord. Then one doesn't have, or one is not obliged to perform all these rituals. Devarshi bhutapta ninam pitrinam na kinkiro nayam rinicha rajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam pariyartakartum. That one takes shelter of Mukunda, one who gives liberation, then he doesn't have to, or he is not obliged to all these things. But it cannot be taken like that. Means somebody who doesn't have faith in the Lord, somebody who doesn't have faith in hearing and chanting, Srila Prabhupada is very clear about this thing, that it cannot be taken just as a ritual. Somebody who doesn't have implicit faith and respect to hearing and chanting, for them all these things are necessary for him to perform, because that becomes one of the obligations that he has to perform. But otherwise, if he has implicit faith, in other words, basically a pure devotee. When one becomes a pure devotee, means he has implicit faith in the holy names. And he says, if he is not, then he has to do all these things. He has to perform all the rites and rituals. That's the reason here Narad Muni is instructing here that you have to perform this and this, this for this shraddha and this month, so many things are there. Ultimately, of course, Narad Muni is bringing up to a level of how one you take shelter of the Lord, then everything is taken care of, right? So there is an example when Swarup Damodar Goswami, his grandfather left the body, he wanted to leave and be there. So he approached Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Because you have taken shelter of Lord, you are doing your devotional service nicely, you are not obliged to do all these things." He says, "So you need not go," he said. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he took that message, he understood that. And this was Srila Prabhupada, consolidated is by quoting from the Shastra that how when one takes shelter of the Lord, he doesn't have to be obliged to so many things. It is said that the Pitris, Pitriloka, where the ancestors are living, he says they dance when somebody or some of the descendants becomes a pure devotee. Said Nityanti Pitra Sarve, Nityanti Sarva Pitamaha. Madvamsha Vaishnava Jataha. He says the forefathers over there, Nityanti Pitra Sarve, all the Pitris, they are dancing. Nityanti Sarva Pitamaha. When? Why? Madvamsha Vaishnava Jataha. He says Madvamsha Vaishnava Jataha, Sametrata Bhavishyati. They know that ki in the future I'll be liberated. I'll be liberated. They are waiting for that only. That somebody, some of the descendants, because they made a mistake, can't rectify it. Now they're in different body, probably in different condition, maybe in a hellish condition of life, or maybe in a different species of life. Now, once you do a mistake, you know, just like, you know, you can escape when you do some mistake in this material world. You perform a crime and probably you can escape the court laws. But you cannot escape the law of the nature. So once you have made a mistake and then you say, I'm sorry, it cannot happen like that. Finish. When the time comes to leave the body, you are out. And then you have to just sit and repent. That's all. You cannot do anything. That's how it is. So whenever the descendants take shelter of the Lord, when they become pure Vaishnavas, it's said that the ancestors dance. The ancestors are happy because then, you know, they know that we will be delivered. So it said that on one hand, somebody does a Shraddha ceremony, that means he does as a ritual without understanding why they are doing it. The benefit is very minimal. But somebody understands that we are giving Krishna Prasad and offers to the forefathers, definitely the benefit is there. But somebody who is a pure devotee, constantly absorbed in hearing and chanting, and that person when he, you know, engaged like this, then the Pitris know that they will be delivered from the cycle of birth and death. That's the beauty of one taking to the pure devotional service actually. So it is mentioned that the best thing what one can do is that one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. In the Shastra, just, you know, somebody may say, then why, whether it's necessary for devotees to do this or perform Shraddha ceremonies, if you have that much of faith, then you need not. But sometimes the rituals are done so that, you know, just to show to the society that you are part of it and you are doing it. Otherwise, there's no need for it. Because otherwise, things may be taken cheaply. People may think that, oh, yeah, even I am a devotee, I can also need not do it. So you may give a wrong signal to someone. So that's why sometimes you may have to do something just to see that, show that you are a part of the society and you are doing all the things. But in your core of your heart, you know that I need to only take shelter of the Lord, that's all, nothing else. As long as I take shelter of the Lord and pray for that soul, the soul will be benefited. But for the benefit of the society, we perform all this. Otherwise, you know, they'll take the different way. They may think that, oh, I am doing it, but then this person is not doing so, I also need not. But then what will happen is that person may be implicated in a sinful action. And there's one nice story, we all know about it, that how the deity also becomes, you know, a son to perform Shraddha for the father. Like story of Govinda Ghosh in Shidam Mayapur, Navdeep areas, this place called Agradweep, one of the islands. And Govinda Ghosh would stay there. And, you know, once his son was told to offer the bhoga to the Lord, Lord is Gopinath. So the son, the similar story like Raghunandan. And the son was told to offer bhoga and the son went and offered to the Lord. And innocently, he just told the Lord to have. The Lord ate everything. But the Lord told him that, you please, you should not tell this to your father. Or if you tell this to anyone, you leave your body. So when father came, and father asked him, where is the prasad? He says, he could not tell anything. He was quite mum. But then ultimately when he was forced to tell, the son had to tell him that this is what has happened. But as would be, the son had to leave the body. Son left the body. Then Govinda Ghosh, he started crying from the Lord. He said, who will perform the Shraddha ceremony if my son is not there? Gopinath, the deity, told him that, I will perform the Shraddha ceremony for you. I'll perform the Shraddha ceremony for you. And the day when Govinda Ghosh left the body, it is found that the deity was having a white cloth on the body. That means the deity wore the white dress on his own and said that every day in the month of Vaishakha, you know, the deity is taken and the deity is actually performing this ceremony for Govinda Ghosh. And we also know that how, to emphasize a point, that how a person who has taken shelter, that person is the recipient of the Shraddha Patra. This is a story from Advaita Chaitanya Charitamrita. Advaita Acharya, when he was performing a Shraddha ceremony for his father and sisters, the Shraddha Patra, that is the Prasadam, it is said that the Prasadam, the Bhoga which is offered, the first Prasadam has to go to the forefathers and then afterwards to the Brahmana, the topmost Brahman. But Advaita Acharya apparently externally broke all the rules and he offered the Shraddha Patra to Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, as you all know, that he was born in a Mlecha family. That means lower than the Shudra. But because he was a Namacharya, Advaita Acharya offered the Shraddha Patra to him. Haridas Thakur said, why are you giving it to me? Actually, you are putting your whole Brahmanical this one at risk. So, please don't do that. Advaita Acharya said, I know the Shastra and I am doing perfectly as per the scriptures. And he said, by feeding you, I am feeding 10 million Brahmanas. He said, because you are such an elevated soul, completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, by feeding you this Shraddha Patra, I am feeding 10 million Brahmanas. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that how that when one feeds a Vaishnava, then there is no need to do anything else. So whenever there is any Shraddha ceremony has to be performed, it is said that, you know, one perform this, offer the Bhoga to the Lord, Krishna Prasad to the forefathers, and call Vaishnavas in your house, feed them nicely, have Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan. That's all. Nothing else. Then you don't have to do anything else apart from this. Why? Because in this age of Kali Yuga, first of all, you know, people, there are no genuine Brahmanas. Brahma Janati iti Brahmana. There are no genuine Brahmanas who are there. Right? And definitely, you know, if you see the rituals and all, people don't have any interest. They don't, even if you do it also, as I was mentioning about my uncle, that even if you do it, it is just as a matter of ritual. So benefit is also very less. And because you do not have any genuine Brahmanas, we don't know whether really it will benefit or not. So better in this age of Kali Yuga, simplest thing is that just call some few people at home, Vaishnavas, have nice Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, and then feed them sumptuously, Prasad. And that will benefit the ancestors, not only the ancestors, it will benefit all the living entities in this universe. That is the injection of the Shastra. So, to sum it up, Srila Prabhupada's mercy that he has made this very apparently seeming complicated purport and translation very easy for us through his presentations and through his wonderful gift that he has given us, that you just have to pay, you know, one time tax, as you say. Nowadays we have these concepts. Now I'm a part of the Indian Dental Association. It was always a headache that every year you have to pay tax, not tax, the membership fees. And if you're not paid, then there'll be 10 calls coming. Have you paid? When will you pay? You know, so many things will come. Or you may be bothering them, you know. So a yearly fees will be, say, maybe 350 rupees. But a one-time fees will be, you know, 2,000 rupees. So somebody thinks that, you know, in 4 years' time, you would have paid 2,000. So might as well pay 2,000 rupees and pay lifetime. So you have what is called as life membership, you know. So this concept of life membership is there. That means one time you pay, the headache is gone, right? So something like this, here when we perform these ceremonies, that means somebody who is not at all a devotee of the Lord, he has to do it every year. Every year he has to perform these Shraddha ceremonies. Just like live and license, you pay every year. Or once in 3 years, the license gets over, then you pay again. So the Shastras recommend that, you know, just have one-time tax. That means just pay directly to the Lord. Surrender your life to Him. And you are free from all the obligations to these debtors. You don't have to perform separately, you know, or you are not obliged to different people separately. In the 11th canto, the same Devarshi Bhutapta, there is a nice purport Ridhandas Goswami gives. Ultimately, we see from an intellectual point of view that we are obliged to the Devas, the Rishis and others, but ultimately, where is the Devas getting the power from? From Krishna. Rishis, where do they get knowledge from? From the Lord. Ultimately, who gives the life, the Bhutas, the Aptas? Ultimately, everything is coming from Krishna. So ultimately, he says that when a woman and man come together, it's not that every time they bear, the child will be born. Then ultimately, Krishna has to sanction. Then only the child will be born. So ultimately, if you see, for everything for us, ultimately, it has to be sanctioned by the Lord for us to remain here. So why not directly go to the topmost? As Srila Prabhupada says, that if you know the Prime Minister, why you need to oblige so many other people under them? If you know the Prime Minister, you know everything, you get everything done from him. So similarly, Gato Mukundam Pariyartikatam. Mukunda is person, Krishna's name, who is a person giving liberation. Only Krishna can liberate us. That's why the name Mukunda is there. So once we take shelter of Mukunda, then we are not obliged to any of these debtors. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that why not perfect your life by just chanting and hearing and pleasing Krishna. If you do that, then your obligations to all your forefathers, the obligations of Devas, the Rishis, the Pitris, the Rinis, Bhuta, Apta, all these things are being taken care of. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.